Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Chicago's home of chicken and waffles in East Nashville. 2521 Gallatin Avenue, right down the road from my house, right down the road from Willie Donick's house. It is a great spot. Our draft night coverage will be here coming up later tonight on Sports Talk 830.
Just an added tidbit on something that just hit minutes ago before the last hour that Tyler Tanner has declared for the NBA draft. He has until May the 2nd to either stay or not stay. So there's still plenty of scenarios where he could come back to Vanderbilt if he wants, or to college basketball.
Okay. So there's still time.
Well, I think there's still some optimism that he will end up back at Vanderbilt. There's
testing the waters, perhaps.
Oh, there's no question he's testing the waters. Yes. Or else he wouldn't do this.
Of course.
But once again, it comes down to how much of a surefire first-round pick are you? How much money would you get to stay? How much money would you make based on where you would be drafted? And the developmental part. Is there more growing you can do before you enter the league for good?
Last night, the Tennessee Titans drafted Carnell Tate with the 4th overall pick in the NFL draft. Carnell Tate, over 3 seasons at Ohio State, 121 receptions, 1,872 yards, and 14 touchdowns last season. 51 receptions, 875 yards, an average of 17.2 yards per reception, and 9 touchdowns. So since we are seated next to an outstanding NFL wide receiver, we are going to do Ask D-Mace Carnell Tate edition. 615-737-1025. If you have questions about Carnell Tate that only Derek Mason can answer, text us right now, 615-737-1025. We'll start with Dwight from Fairview on our text line. He says, D-Mace, I know there are certain things draft picks do once they are drafted to the team, like meeting people, playbook, etc. Is there anything different that happens for a high wide receiver draft pick?
You're in there earlier. That's about it. You're in there earlier. You're in there the day after you get drafted. And once you get down in the lower picks, you're not really coming until, you know, camp for the rookies. They will send you everything you need, but outside of that, if you're outside of that first round and possibly even a second round, you're not showing up until the rookies show up. But that's really the difference, is that you're going to get an opportunity to meet everybody a lot sooner than, you know, the second rounders and anybody beyond that.
One texter says, D-Mace, what would you describe as a successful rookie year for Carnell Tate?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the numbers of, you know, say the last 5 wide receivers that I've had that were drafted first round or high first round picks. Tet McMillan, he was over, I think, 1,100 yards last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Tet McMillan last season for the Carolina Panthers, 70 receptions, 1,014 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns.
Okay. So he was just below 1,100 yards.
Malik Nabers in his rookie season, 109 receptions, 1,204 yards, 7 touchdowns.
So, again, and that's what I was thinking about. Well, you come in, and what would be considered a sort of a bar that he has to reach. And I think it does have to be that 1,000 yards.
I was about to say, does it start with 1,000 yards?
I think it has to be, because anything below that, people are going to say, unless, and then that too would be sort of a blow, unless he misses games, even that wouldn't be beneficial for him nor the Titans. But if he doesn't reach that 1,000-yard threshold or is a impact player, because even though A.J. Brown wasn't a first-round draft pick, he just missed – I think he may have just missed 1,000 yards, or he had 1,000 yards, but he was a impact player. You saw the impact of that team when he was on the field. You saw how much of an impact. That's what it needs to be for Carnell Tate.
A.J. Brown in his rookie season, 52 receptions, 1,051 yards, eight
so that's
touchdowns.
What that it has to be that. It has to be 1,000 yards. The touchdowns, okay, but it has to be trending toward this can potentially be a double-digit touchdown guy. That's what it has to be. Anything short of that, people are going to start to wonder, and they're going to panic.
I misread my information. Tyler Tanner has until May 27th. Did I say May 2nd?
I believe you said May 2nd.
That's a little different. It's May 20th. He has all the way until May 27th to stay in or get out.
Good to know. Adam in Portland says, here's my Ask D-Mays question. If you take Carnell Tate off of the Ohio State Buckeyes and put him on the Vanderbilt Commodores, does he get drafted at number 4?
With Diego? I think his numbers would have been higher. I honestly think his numbers would have been higher.
Oh, I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, he would have been the number one guy, flat out.
I don't know if that changes his draft position, but I think his numbers would have been.
Yeah, I think his numbers would have been better.
He would have had the ball thrown to him more, probably.
He would have been more of a featured wide receiver.
And it's not like they had nobody else. They had Eli Stowers, and they had some other guys that were pretty good. Like, flip him for, let's just say, flip him for Richardson as the number one guy.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
We have Carnell Tate here at Vanderbilt.
I'd like to see him that.
I think the numbers would have been better. And if he's the same receiver, Bill, everything is across the board the same from his from the intangibles or the metrics. I think he still is a top four receiver in the Titans' eyes.
One texter says, with Tate's build and skill set, where do you think is the position to make him flourish? Where on the field, I assume?
To me, because I've seen a lot of these receivers, whether it be smaller receivers, bigger receivers, you're trying to get matchups. That's what you're trying to do. So for me to say, let's say it this way. He's a big body wide receiver. He's a big guy. You typically want to put those guys on the ball because they are more adept to press coverage. They can get off press coverage, big bodies. So naturally you would want to put him as the X because that's where he flourished at Ohio State. But when you get in the league and you are a playmaker like they want him to be, you have to be able to play across the board. You just have to. You got to be able to play inside, outside, motion down. You have to be able to do all these things. Now, the one thing he may not do is the whole jet sweep stuff and all that other stuff, but you're drafting him that high. He has to have the ability to play every wide receiver position out there.
Let me ask you a question as part of Ask D-Mays Carnell Tate Edition. We have mentioned he was excellent last season at contested catches. Mm-hmm. According to Pro Football Focus, 12 of 14 on contested catches. In his career at Ohio State, he was 22 of 32. That's 68.8%. What makes him so good at catching the ball in tight spaces against defenders?
I think it's his concentration and his ability to go up and get the ball, catching it at its highest point. That means you have great hands. You have confidence in your hands that, no matter who's around, you're going to go up and you're going to compete for the ball. He is a competitor. Guys that, especially that big frame, because that's what they're looking for you to do. You know, you can't run by me, so they say. So what they're going to do is throw these jump balls. So sometimes it makes it difficult. But what he has shown in college, now it was college, but what he has shown in college is that, he more times than not will come up with the 50-50 balls. Now, in the NFL, I don't expect it to be 68% or 70% of the combative catches. Now, if it's that, then this kid's going to be outstanding. And I mean outstanding. But if it's somewhere in that 50, somewhere range, I think a little bit higher possibly, I think he's going to be all right.
I remember us getting worked up over Treylon Burks not being able to make contested catches. Pro Football Focus has his career contested catch rate at 40.7, 11 of 27. I remember one play.
In the NFL.
In the NFL.
I'd be curious what they had at Arkansas.
I can find that for you. But it would be nice for the Tennessee Titans to have a wide receiver who can go up and get it no matter what. You alluded to this, Derek, earlier. What do you think this means for Calvin Ridley? How would you go about integrating Carnell Tate into this offense with Calvin Ridley? Do you stick with Calvin Ridley as the primary option for now and slowly work Carnell Tate into it? Or, because of his draft slot, do you have to immediately push Calvin Ridley to maybe option number two and give Carnell Tate an immediate opportunity to be option number one?
And do you think there's a chance that they cut Ridley?
No, I don't think they're going to cut him. They need him enough. They need him from the standpoint of, because you don't know how this is going to go. You want to take as much pressure off of this guy as you can. Getting rid of Calvin Ridley puts even more pressure on him, because now he has no doubt. There's no, let's defer to Calvin until he sort of, so we can kind of hide him a bit. If Calvin leaves, you can't hide him. He has to be the guy. And I'm not saying that he will not be that person.
Is there room for both of them?
Yeah, there's room. Definitely. In today's NFL, there's room for everybody.
But you don't like that. You're a guy that I've heard say, keep the same four or five guys rotating. Teams rotate too much sometimes.
I think teams do too much rotation with their wide receivers. And I think too many A1 wide receivers are willing to go out of the game. It's like, no, I tell you when I'm ready to come out the game. Unless you want to run a jumbo package or something, package, where it's one receiver or I'm not – okay. But when we're talking about just, 11 personnel, I'm out there.
Yeah.
No matter what, I'm not coming off the field until I raise my hand and say I'm tired.
So that's why I'm asking the question. So you think there's enough reps?
Yes,
I
think there's enough
for all those guys.
I think there's enough reps, especially the way they sort of rotate all of these guys. But going back to Calvin Ridley, it's going to be Calvin. He understands. See, he understands going into the season, they're phasing out of him. He understood it when he took the pay cut. That's why he chose to take the pay cut as opposed to going out in open market, because he probably wasn't going to get that much in open market based on what he has done the 2 years with the Titans, because he's been injured.
And coming off a big injury.
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. So you stay here, you continue to assert yourself as the one, but eventually what the team is hoping is that this young guy comes on very slowly, and by the middle of the season, he has really picked up steam. And now he knows the offense. Now he's ready to go. And now we're sort of slowly segueing out of, because Calvin Ridley is important to Cam Ward. He is extremely important because he is the only guy that he really trusts right now. I mean, the young guys are out there. Now, obviously, he and Alec have a relationship. We sit it on the field. And DK. But it was more so certain plays with Alec that I saw, okay, they're building this sort of they're building this rapport that is good for both of them. But Calvin Ridley is the guy that if we need a play, I know I can look to him because he's going to make, more than likely he's going to make that play. So he has to be there. But eventually what happens is that allows Carnell Tate to grow organically within the offense.
Okay, so you said that for it to be a successful rookie year for Tate, he needs to be in that 1,000-yard neighborhood. But I'm looking at Calvin Ridley's still there. Io Manor's still there. DK had his moments.
A lot of mouths to feed.
And now you've got another guy who has had, 120, 140 targets the last few years, the guy from the Giants?
Wandale Robinson. Yes.
So it's about efficiency, but I do wonder, is everybody going to, not everybody's going to have they're not going to have 4,000-yard receivers or even two.
No, this gives them the leeway to have those young guys slow down the pace a little bit.
Okay.
Because now We really want to go 3 to 4 deep. That's it.
Yeah.
3 to 4 deep. And we want to get
Cam. So
who
gets less playing time, Io Manner?
I think Alec does.
Yeah.
Because DK's prowess on special teams.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's
specialty
more of that.
Player.
Exactly. So he has to be out there on special teams. So you got to find a way to play him within the offense. And they will. They did last year. And they will expand on that this year. But they really, honestly, it's like 4 deep. We don't really want to go to that fifth or that sixth guy every so often, but we really want to go 4, and if we can chance it, we want to go 3.
So you would have DK as 4 over Io Manner at this moment?
I would have DK 4 over Io Manner because of the special teams.
Okay.
To me. And he's just I think he's more of a well-rounded wide receiver. He can be inside, he can play outside, you can do a lot of things with him. And I'm not sure Alec, not to say that he won't get there, I'm not sure Alec is there yet.
By the way, Treylon Burks at Arkansas, a contested catch rate of 48.9.
So it was 22 of 45.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a question with Carnell Tate. 68.8% contested catch rate at Ohio State. 615-737-1025. We'll continue Ask D-Mace Carnell Tate edition coming up next. If you have a question for Derek, text him. Text us, and we will let him know. 615-737-1025. We're not giving out Derek Mason's number on the air. We will wrap up the show coming up next ahead of Vanderbilt baseball. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are at Chicago's home of chicken and waffles in East Nashville, 2521 Gallatin Avenue. Our draft night coverage on Sports Talk 830 starts at 6 p.m. with Nick Frazier and Connor Newt. Coming up right after us, Vanderbilt baseball against Texas, a big series for the Vandy boys, Willie Donick.
Huge. Or as you like to say,
huge.
Huge. It's huge.
Huge.
It's huge. It's a huge series.
Vanderbilt, they got a big road series win last week at Kentucky that bounced them back a little bit. They had lost a home series 2 out of 3 to Oklahoma in a series that they really needed to win. You got to hold serve at home. Mm-hmm. Texas is number 4. In the country, 30-8 on the season, one of the best teams in the SEC. And so this is a chance for Vanderbilt to make some hay because their RPI, you're going to hear this some as they go, they're on the bubble right now. They have not missed the NCAA tournament since 2005.
Wow.
They have made the NCAA tournament every year since then. And they've got some work to do. They are not a shoe-in to make it back to the tournament. They have had massive injuries on the pitching staff. And to a lesser degree, their lineup. Their lineup, though, basically has been pretty good. They score some runs, but their pitching is – they've really had to piece it together. And so at home against Texas, and your RPI will zip up if you can do well against them. So big, big series over at the Hawk.
Let's continue Ask D-Mace Carnell Tate edition. The Titans draft Carnell Tate number 4 overall last night, 615-737-1025. One texter says, Derek, what does this do for the mentalities of Alec Io Manner and Shim Dike?
Listen, I've been there. Believe me, I have been there. And, you know, your first reaction is, wow, okay. All right, they drafted a wide receiver. All right, what does that mean for me? But then after that sort of settles, it means you need to go to work. You need to develop. You know, you need to make sure that you come into that building, you know, once the season started, a new person physically, mentally. And that's what one of my challenges was to Alec and to DK, but really Alec, is to come back a different receiver, physically, mentally, emotionally, come back as a different receiver. Now you need to, because if you don't, you're going to lose playing time. They've created, which I love, they've created competition within the room. And that's only going to make that room and the quarterback better.
Weston Hermitage says, so I guess Xavier Restrepo is just chopped liver, huh? The Titans spent the summer sanitizing. No chance of strep this winter.
Listen, again, it is a long shot. And when I mean long, I mean long.
How many O's can you add
exactly
in the word long in that situation?
Exactly.
Indefinite but O's?
But, listen, I'm not saying he won't be able to do it. I'm sure his odds have been long every year, no matter what, and he's managed to go out there and perform. But the part of, you know, the hard part here is, you know, no matter what you do, it's going to take something outside of your control for you, for them to put you on a field so you can show that you can play. How do I know? Because it happened to me. No matter what I did, there was this perception until something was forced on them and they had to put me out there.
Rick says, who does Carnell Tate remind you of initially? What does Derek think his ceiling is and his floor is?
I've always said, even when I was looking, watching him and scouting him during the season, because he's always been my number one wide receiver, I thought he was a comparison to T. Higgins.
Yes.
To me, and I love T. Higgins. I wanted the Titans to try to trade to bring T. Higgins here because, to me, he is a number one receiver. When Ja'Marr Chase wasn't, you know, in the game, he proved against the Titans that he was a number one receiver. He dominated. So I wanted him to get T. Higgins. They didn't. But I think this is a T. Higgins-type player. So, to me, if his ceiling is T. Higgins, then I'm good with that. I really am, because to me, T. Higgins is the number one receiver. He just so happens to play alongside of Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, T. Higgins has had a couple of 1,000-yard seasons, double-digit touchdowns in each of the past two years.
But that is going – see, what that is what's going to be important here is the touchdowns. That is going to be huge, because if he can be a high-volume touchdown guy, then people can stomach not being a 13, 14, 1,500-yard guy, because you are a double-digit touchdown guy. So if he's able to get closer to that double digits and he's a 1,000-yard receiver, I think you got what you want.
Carnell Tate, to that point, Derek Mason, Carnell Tate in his final season at Ohio State, if I can pull it up here, had just 875 yards, but he had 9 touchdowns.
Yes. So, and you're talking about he's playing with Jeremiah Smith and all these other guys. So it's like, man, there's touchdowns, plenty of touchdowns to go around.
And what do we say about Julian saying in his Heisman race? They had the game in the bag.
Yes.
So often in the second half, they weren't padding their stats by throwing the ball in the fourth quarter. What were we talking about? Like, there was a crazy stat about saying that he almost never had to throw the ball in
the fourth quarter.
So that affects Tate's stats and all the other receivers, because they're just running the ball.
One texter says, I think a super happy person today should be Gunnar Helm. Fast rookie taking the safeties away, and then a good flight receiver we picked up in free agency pulling the linebackers away. Helm should be wide open a lot, or at least one-on-one.
I do think about that.
Yeah, this gives Helm an opportunity to flourish, too, because now there's more people to have eyes on outside of him. You know, even though, you know, people probably didn't look at him like that, but having Wandale Robinson, Calvin Ridley coming back healthy, and then going to get Carnell Tate, you can, as a tight end, depending on how Brian Daboll uses the tight end in his offense, you can become a more than a viable option for this offense.
I do want to thank the NFL for something. The NFL made the decision to limit the amount of time between picks yesterday from 10 minutes to 8 minutes.
Congratulations.
That helped a lot.
And according to Front Office Sports, it cut off nearly 40 minutes of the broadcast. The final pick of the first round came at 11:05 p.m. Eastern. The year before, 11:43 p.m. Eastern.
Do you think had it been no trades, or say one trade, it would have went faster?
That's a good question. But I do appreciate the NFL.
Oh, me too.
For cutting it down 2 minutes per pick. Saved 40 minutes, basically, off the broadcast. So, big ups for the NFL in that decision. Also, the most awkward post-draft moment. Did any of you catch Sean McVay's news conference after the L.A. Rams drafted Ty Simpson?
Yeah.
He was muted, would be the word I would use to describe Sean McVay. He didn't look like he loved the pick.
He didn't look happy. Is there a little bit of nepotism going on with that?
In what sense?
Sneed, because Sneed is good friends.
Oh, yes.
You
with
know,
Ty Simpson's
exactly,
father.
Absolutely. Right, yes. So, That's probably why McVay was just like steaming it inside.
Well, didn't at one point Ty Simpson admit that he had not ever met
Sean McVay? I believe he said that
in the
yes.
press conference with him sitting right there. I found it interesting too.
He said he hadn't talked to him before the draft, something like that.
But you know, it was also interesting. Somebody asked Keldrick Falk at his on-site press conference, "Hey, did you know the Titans were going to draft you?" And he said, "Not really. He said I had not met with the Titans."
Whoa. Well, I didn't meet with the Titans either. They drafted me, so there you go.
Well, I mean, I wonder how often that's the case. But for a first-round pick, they didn't have a meeting with him.
One you're trading up to get.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
So I get it from Sean McVay's standpoint. Mm-hmm. He's trying to go for it one more time with Matthew Stafford. And you know how the Rams operate. F them picks, right?
Yeah.
They rarely have first-round picks in the top half, especially in the top half of the first round. And it was an opportunity for the Rams to draft a playmaker, perhaps. But they drafted Matthew Stafford's potential successor.
I mean, people forget about it. If Ty Simpson comes in and they just keep winning, people forget about it. He'll seem like a genius, McVay. And Snead will still have his job.
Isn't it a great example of that? Somebody always falls
exactly.
in love with the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Somebody always. Guys always,
fall in love with the quarterback.
I thought this was interesting from ESPN. Ty Simpson's 15 career college starts at Alabama are the fourth fewest by a first-round quarterback over the past 25 years. Anthony Richardson and Mitch Trubisky had 13 apiece. Dwayne Haskins had 14. Ty Simpson had 15. Mark Sanchez had 16.
Wow. That's not a good track record.
Mark Sanchez.
It's not a good track record.
I didn't realize that.
So, as Sean McVay said, we'll see. If Ty Simpson will back up Matthew Stafford, he said, we'll see. He's in the competition with your boy, Stetson Bennett.
That's my dude, too, man. God, Stetson Bennett. Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
Well, sometimes you just got to take the L, and I think you might have to take
the L. Alabama guy going against a Georgia guy.
Ooh. I've seen that movie before.
Oh, man.
Wow.
But fans, listen. The Titans don't have a second-round pick as we sit right now. Now, they may maneuver to try to get back into the second round late, but as we sit, they do not have a second-round pick. But looking at what they were able to do in the first round, I think, people, you can be shocked, and I think you could be a little upset, maybe because they didn't take a rush in or Jeremiah Love was gone, but I think they still got a player. I think they still have someone that's going to help them transform their offense and become one of the better offenses in the National Football League.
And we talked about this the other day. It's so easy to sell a wide receiver. You plaster Carnell Tate on billboards all over town, put him on the side of the new stadium. It's so easy to market a wide receiver. You can put Cam Ward and Carnell Tate on the same billboard. That's going to get people excited. No disrespect to other positions. But there are a few positions that get fans excited more than wide receiver.
It's tempered a little bit in Tennessee.
Yes, because of the history of wide receivers.
Track record, yes.
We have to mention Kevin Dyson, who had a good career.
Kevin Dyson had a good, but his was injury. It was injury. It had nothing to do with his
start,
production.
But then he was coming on,
yes.
And that's when the big injury happened.
Yes.
But,
so
but Kendall Wright and Kenny Britt.
His was attitude, Kendall
and
Wright.
Teams.
And Treylon Burks.
Injuries. Man.
It's
a long list.
Look,
so it seems like all the Titan first rounders dealt with some type of injury.
Guys, like Kendall Wright was out
Kendall
there.
Wright,
they just weren't very, it wasn't a good team.
His attitude became more of an issue, I think, after a while. But Kenny Britt got hurt. Corey Davis got hurt. Who else? AJ was hurt, but he ended up overcoming it, and he ended up being a terrific receiver. So.
But it's the same thing, Willie, with Predators and forwards, right? When the Predators draft a forward high, like Brady Martin, for example, it's like, well, the Predators have stunk developing forwards, so why do you keep drafting forwards? You know, it's the same thing with the Titans and the wide receivers.
Baseball theory, man. Just keep them coming. Keep it coming.
Eventually, you've got to get one.
Yes. Yeah.
Eventually, you've got to hit on one.
You can't stop trying just because of the history. You have to keep trying. Right. You have to have good wide receivers.
3 out of 10, I'm a Hall of Famer.
I mean, look, until Carnell Tate shows he can do it, people are going to keep bringing up Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright and Kevin Dyson and Trey Laverne.
You know, I am curious about this, D-Mace. The effort that Cam Ward put into, especially with the rookies, Helm and Io Manor and DK, they worked really hard. They were there at 5 in the morning, all that stuff. I wonder how he builds the relationship with
It's going to have to be that. It's going Tate just got to fall in line.
Yeah.
Whatever those, you know, Ridley and whatever Cam wants, you fall in line and let's go. If Cam wants to throw at 4 o'clock in the morning, you ain't got a family. You better be there at 4 o'clock. I mean, yeah. Serious. Like when Cam, if Cam want to throw at 6 o'clock in the evening, you ain't got no family. Let's throw at 6 o'clock in the evening. You know, because they're all young. It's not like the only person that probably would have a problem with, like, is Calvin Ridley because he has a family. But the rest, no, y'all ain't, no. You meet me. If I want to throw under some lights at 11 o'clock at night, you be out there at 11 o'clock at night.
That'll do it for us today. And this week, we will continue reacting to the drafting of Carnell Tate. We'll see what happens over the next couple of days. We'll talk about it all starting at 3 o'clock on Monday. Vanderbilt baseball coming up next year at 102.5 The Game. Sports Talk 8:30 starting at 6. Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with our draft night coverage here from Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles in East Nashville. Thank you to them for having us, but we will talk to you Monday at 3 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. See you come Monday at 3 p.m. where we will give you a full update on all of the Tennessee Titans draft pick. And welcome to Nashville, Carnell Tate. Peace.